A. Good morning to you. How are you, Lagos? So, quick one, yeah. The weather reports are out, and it's looking like we are in the times of extreme weather conditions. So, please, this is some kind of warning. Please try as much as possible to take care of the necessary things around you. Clear your drainages. If you are living in a flood-prone area, perhaps it's time to start making alternative plans, okay? Please try and do that very, very quickly before we get into the, you know, thick of things, huh? Okay, that said, let's quickly, before we get into our Ekiti election conversation this morning, we're hoping to have join us Achike Chude, development expert, also election observer, on what he observed in the Ekiti elections, right? But before we get to all of that, let me quickly announce the treasure hunt for today. Now, for those who are wondering, how can they be a part of the treasure hunt? Please first download the mobile app of Nigeria Info. That's the first step to take. Once you have the mobile app of Nigeria Info, then you listen up to our shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And the treasure that you're going to go hunt for will be announced on each show. And winner gets 5,000 naira on each show. Now, here is a caveat. Once you've won, you cannot win again. That's just a condition. Now, this is so because so as to make the money go round. That's why, so as to make everybody, you know, win. Okay, so let me break it down even further. Imagine if we're to be giving you 5,000 naira for calling. You know how many people would have won that 5,000 naira over and over and over and over and over again? One person, I'm sure, would have won like 50 times. So you see, that's why we have said that what if you've won once, you can't win again. You give others a chance to win. And I think it's fair. The management thinks it's fair as well to do it that way so that the money can go around. So here is the treasure you're going to go and look for on our mobile app. And by the way, to get the mobile app, you can go get it from Android Play Store or iPhone's App Store. Okay. You're looking for a picture of the PVC. You know the PVC. You're looking for that picture from our mobile app. The first person to see this picture and fill the form, because once you see the picture, click on it. Once you click on the picture, a small form will come up, will pop up, fill it and submit. Don't send it to me on WhatsApp. One chance, Neo. Don't send me to WhatsApp. You send me on WhatsApp. There's not, exactly. So that's how the entry will go. What you just saw now, what you just heard now, that's exactly what will happen to your entry. You have to click submit once you filled it up. The first person to do all of this will be the winner of 5,000 naira, beg your pardon. I hope that is clear. So now that we have that out of the way, let's begin our conversation this morning on Ekiti election. Today we have a conversation on the just concluded gubernatorial election. I don't know if you observed, if you followed it, but I've got questions as to how was it turned out for the latest poll in Ekiti State, and what was your observation for those who monitored it? What is your observation of the gubernatorial election? Was turnout this time impressive by your standard? Because you know that there was a drop in the 2018 turnout rate from 49.12% that was recorded in 2014 to 44.36% in 2018. That's according to DataFight. They released the data some couple of months ago, April 18 to be very precise. In the latest Ekiti governorship election, International Center for Investigative Reporting, ICIR, on Sunday said a total of 351,865 valid votes were recorded from 363,438 voters accredited for the election. The total number of registered voters in the state is 989,224. Now, from 989,224, of course, some people would have relocated, some would have passed on, some may be ill for one reason or the other, some others may not be able to vote, but The actual valid votes recorded stood at 363,438. I'm going to bring in Achike Chude in here right now. Achike, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us on The Crossfire this morning.
It's a pleasure, Sharif.
It's good to have you here. Now, let me get your overview of the Ekiti election before we now start to piece it apart. What's your assessment of the entire process?
Yeah, well, I think one can come out of that election feeling comfortably, you know, and cautiously optimistic about what has gone on. First of all, you look at the general atmosphere. That is the first thing you look at, because to determine, you know, the credibility of an election will be dependent on other factors, such as the environment under which it held.
Right.
You know, was it peaceful and all that? So I think that is one major plus for the election. The election was fairly peaceful. And if we had one or two skirmishes, it was days leading to the election when a factional leader of the NURTW was shot dead. But apart from that, there were very few reports, very, very few, and, you know, of any form of a conflict or outbreak during the election, which is also great. And one other positive, again, is the fact that from a previous deployment, according to the security, according to the police,
yeah,
of about deployment of about 34,000 security personnel, 34,000 security personnel, we had a working reduction by about 13 to 17,000. And so we had about 17,000 security personnel on ground in Ekiti State. That could only, you know, be a sign that we're beginning to have some more positivities in an election. And then one other thing I also perhaps that was also responsible for that is the fact that you have less vitriolic rhetoric, you know, on the part of a political
the actors,
on the part of the gladiators in the election.
Right.
All the hell and brimstone statements, and you know, seem to be things of the past. And of course, the signing of a peace accord, the presidential debates, all of these things helped in creating a general atmosphere of conviviality in a way, even though it was not devoid of some level of tension. And of course, you know that the stakes are usually high in this process, so that in itself will bring some level of tension. But I think there was a general feeling of, we are just going out to do our patriotic duty. We are going out to vote, and nothing more than that. And I think that is what we saw in the turnout. And then also look at the performances. I'm sure we're going to get into during the course of the conversation.
Yes, we will.
But I think you come out, like I said, with a feeling of, well, there's some progress.
Looking at the turnout, out of 363,438 accredited voters, a little, you know, above 10,000 there, 10,000 people, voters rather, didn't eventually show up to vote out of the accredited voters. We had about 351,000 out of 363,000. Would you say this is fairly okay in terms of voter apathy and participation out of almost a million, you know, registered voters in the state?
Of course, a far cry from what we saw in Anambra State, obviously. So, from that perspective, yes. But if you look at it from a general perspective, it is still, you know, quite low. Of course, you are talking about, if you want to put it in percentage, points, it's about, that represents about 30% of the total number of registered voters. And 30% is not still too good. So a lot more needs to be done. A lot more needs to be done, you know, to ensure that far more people, if you're talking about 50-60% of the voting public, then you can begin, you know, to be positive about where we are going. So that would mean that about 65-70% of registered voters did not turn out. That is still not a very good sign if you're going to look at it from that perspective. So much more needs to be done, obviously.
Right, indeed. Now let's go to performances of the parties and the actors, the contenders. If you look at the breakdown very well, are you surprised about the voting pattern?
No, I'm not. If you look at it, it's not just the voting pattern in Ekiti, in this particular election, the voting pattern all over the country. The incumbents tend to have the advantage, and there are so many reasons for that. First of all, they are the party in government.
Right.
And it is the party that that can dish out their patronage. A lot of people will be beholden on the party, which the opponents do not have, an opportunity, are not in a position to, also do.
Right.
If that party performs very well, then it is in a better position to show the people how well they have done. The opponents or the rivals do not have that advantage also. But the disadvantage of that is that if the party has performed woefully, then the opponents could use it as a basis to reason that they should not be brought back to power. But that is only if the politics that is played is the politics of ideas.
Right.
And we know that right now, the politics of ideas is not reign supreme in Nigeria. It's the politics of other kinds of ideologies, the politics of stomach infrastructure and the rest. But that is not to say that there are not people who are swayed by good reasons for voting in a particular political party. So in that sense, you have perhaps in about 90% or 95% of cases where incumbents tend to come back to power, can tend to retain power if they are going for a second term. That is not something, a phenomenon that we see at the level of National Assembly with the loss of over 173 members in the election cycle at the primaries. But for the state gubernatorial elections, I think it is much more different. So obviously, the ruling party, the APC, had a major advantage.
Okay.
And part of that advantage, again, that comes with the power of incumbency, is that you do not want to lose that incumbency to your opponent. So you deploy everything, at your disposal. They usually have more resources, more money, because they have been in government for quite some time.
Right.
And one other thing, again, is that they can expect support from their counterparts in other parts of the country, either financially or morally. And of course, you saw some of the governors coming to Ekiti State to make a statement.
Right.
The PDP, for instance, that should have been at the second runner-up on the basis of the antecedents of the party, even in Ekiti State, did not do very well in terms of mobilizing support for their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
How many of their big wigs I came to Ekiti State. So what it means is that it would appear that they had, considered Ekiti State to the APC even before the election took place. Otherwise, they would have given it much more in terms of deploying their arsenal, to the state. But that we did not see. Then Chegoni, I think, did fairly well. Of course, that in a way too should be expected. He has been a former governor of the state, and so his performance was creditable. Creditable, and then of course all the others
Segun Oni of the SDP, he polled about 82,211 votes, and he seemed to be of the opinion that he's not satisfied with the result. In fact, some of his followers seem to think that he won the election. You covered that. What's your thoughts on that?
Ultimately, I mean, he has a right to go to the tribunal to make his case, and hopefully to provide his evidence.
Right.
But what we saw, and I think in the post voting period, when they were interviewing some of the aspirants, the candidates, he was also interviewed, and he didn't complain much about the way the election was going. In fact, most of them were quite effusive in their praise of INEC. But again, if he has a complaint, the complaint must be based on something.
Right.
If he goes to court, then he must feel that the reasons that compelled him to court are worthy enough to make a case at the tribunal. But what I know is that the election was peaceful. What I know, and I believe, is that the winner of that, the person that was declared winner of the election, actually won that election on the basis of what we tracked, on the basis of what we saw.
Right.
And so we did not see any sign, a serious sign of foul play. And of course, you know that there is a new technology that is in use.
I was going to come to you on the performance of INEC. You saw what played out. What can you say about INEC's performance at the Ekiti election and perhaps what we should expect in 2023.
Yeah, well, I think like that's why I said, you know, it is easier to leave Ekiti State, you know, with that feeling that some progress was made. And I think that progress was made, really. If you look at so many things that have been the bane of INEC, for which INEC has been criticized over the years, the issue of logistics going into an election.
Right.
I think the logistics were very well, you know, INEC did exceedingly very well because right. You have, I think at the initial stage, as at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or so, INEC had about, before 9 a.m. in the morning, INEC had deployed early to about 93% of the polling units in the state. That is unprecedented. 93 is an A plus.
Mm.
And then, the conduct of INEC officials, right. Ad hoc staff, most especially, we have complained in other elections, like in Anambra State and others,
mm-hmm.
that it would appear that some of their ad hoc staff did not have the necessary training to enable them, process some of their responsibilities at the polling unit, such as the use of beavers and all that, or their
right.
machines.
Right.
But this we did not see. Maybe just one or two places where they had issues. So I think we had emphasized to INEC on the need for continuous education and workshops for their ad hoc staff, mm-hmm. which showed the way what we saw in terms of the outcome showed that they had actually done that. So at that level, they also did exceedingly very well. But if there's any complaint, for instance, that some of us will have, it is the rate of turnover of people during accreditation process.
Okay.
With a machine that is working normally, flawlessly,
right.
You would have a 1 minute turnover of a voter.
Yeah.
Now, that is good. So what that does is that it gives you about 60 persons.
Six, yes.
In an hour. And so if you times it, it will give you about maybe by 6 hours, that is the period of voting, maybe about 360 or so,
thereabout,
registered, you know, people who have been accredited.
Right.
But what we saw in some instances is that we had about 15% of people with a 1 minute turnover, the voters with the machine, based on the machine, working of the functionality of the machine with
right.
A 1 minute turnover. We had about 45% with a 5 minute turnover, which is exceedingly poor because it tells you that in an hour you will have 12 people being accredited, and that would be a very
big problem.
6 hours, 180. Right. 180 is not good enough. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, but also we had people 3 minutes turnover of about maybe 30% and all that. So I think INEC really needs to improve on the functionality of their machines. The machines did fairly well compared to what happened in the Abuja Municipal Area Council elections where the machines failed woefully.
Right.
But I think the machines did exceedingly well. And I think we had a success rate, in terms of functionality of the Beavers machine of around 76% in all of the voting locations that we went through, that we went to. And so I think that in a way is also a pass mark, but these are things that we also need to work on.
Right, indeed. Achike Chude is still with us here on the line. We're going to take just one call before our first break. Then when we return, we'll talk to Achike Chude about what he saw in terms of, voter inducement, votes buying and the rest of them. But that will be after the break. But let me just take one call right now to drop on the show before we go on our first break. Please turn off your radio if you're calling. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
This is who?
I'm so sorry. Your line isn't too clear, okay? So I'm going to hang up now and take another call, okay? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please. Morning to you.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo calling from Morile Igom.
You're welcome.
Sherry, my take this morning concerning that election.
Yeah.
It seems that we've come to accept that inducement is part of electoral system now in this part of the nation. Because it was, as if it was displayed blatantly. We saw where EFC culture and grassroots. I think that is what they mean. For me,
right.
Way forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We should start an advocacy against inducement.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless Nigeria.
Asaladipo, thank you for calling me. Achike, please stay with me. Let's take this short break. When we return from this break, we'll talk some more specifically about voter inducement. They just concluded Ekiti election. All right. Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:41 is the time from our studios here. Achike Chude is still here with us via the telephone. Achike, thank you again for being here. But before we get on with our conversation this morning, let me quickly announce the winner of the treasure hunt. I have to do it now, otherwise I would forget. Okay, because the conversation we're about to continue right now is about to get really, really hot. So your name is Abayomi Isaac. You have won 5,000 naira on the treasure hunt for today. Isaac, if you have not won before, then you'll be paid. If you've won before, please take your mind off of this winning, all right? Okay, good. Now that's done, congratulations to you, Isaac, once again. Achike, thank you for staying with us. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's move forward. Let's talk very briefly about the situation of votes buying. We saw videos, Achike. You were there on the ground. I mean, you could see another thing entirely. Tell us exactly what you saw in terms of voter inducement, votes buying, and the rest of it.
Okay, but before then, let me just say that I will get to that shortly, that it wasn't all 100% for INEC, because, you know, if some time ago, you know, on the basis of complaints made to INEC about the over-concentration of voters, specific locations, INEC did promise us that they were going to, you know, redistribute voters and take them from away from heavily concentrated
areas,
polling units, yeah, and then create new polling units, which they actually did.
Okay.
But we saw that their strategy did not work. We don't know what happened because their strategy failed to address the same problem of over concentration of voters in some polling units. We had an example at Surajuddin School at Dodalimo, Ward 9, Ado Ekiti, LGA, which had about 5,000 registered voters shared between just two polling units. You know, and some of the voters complained that their request for transfer of registration to their preferred polling unit was not approved before this exercise. You know, so obviously much more needs to be done. And we saw that in so many places where you have 1,000 voters and then maybe a few yards away, a few meters away, you have a polling unit with about 43 registered voters. While, you know, not too long away from there, you had that, you have the 1,000, the registration, the polling unit with 1,000 registered voters. So these are some of the discrepancies that we also discovered. But now, back to your question about voter inducement.
Yes.
It was at its peak.
Oh.
There was no place that we did not have across the 16 local government, you know, areas in Ekiti State that we did not have active voter inducement. The buying and purchasing of and selling of votes are taking place, obviously. In fact, in some places, they were so blatant. Once they come in, the way the voting cubicle was arranged, and then the way the party agents were also milling around the same cubicles. A voter comes out after having cast his or her vote. She puts up the ballot paper, you know, plainly before putting inside the ballot box, plainly showing where they have cast their vote, so that the party agent knows that they have that the vote was actually cast on behalf of their candidates, and then they direct them to in a particular place, a particular person, a particular room where they are going to go to collect their money. This was being done blatantly. And we know that the EFCC and the ICPC also, you know, were deployed, and for that purpose of intervening. Unfortunately, in some instances, while the general populace of security people, especially the police, did their job, also arrived at the polling units on time, a few elements within the Nigerian police were also involved in aiding and abetting vote buying. And we were during one of our deliberations, our strategy sessions on the civil society situation room.
Right.
We had a few members of the Nigeria Police Commission come in, And while we were getting reports from the field, they were also getting reports from their own people on the field. And one of those reports, as soon as they get those reports about police involvement, active police involvement in inducement of voters, they escalate that report and give, you know, identity, and that, you know, with the identification of the places or, you know, where these things are happening to police authorities so that they could intervene. And then I got to understand that in some of those instances, the police actually intervened and arrested some of their own people. So it's not as if nobody wanted to do something about it, but believe me, it was fairly blatant. So while we are now saying that virtually, I mean, the institutions of government did their job fairly well. I'm talking about INEC, I'm talking about the police, not just the police, other supporting security agencies like the
NCDC,
road safety, like the
NSCDC.
And, you know, yes, Nigerian Security and the Defense Corps, and all the others did their job. The politicians once more failed the nation because they were the ones that were actively involved in undermining, trying to undermine the credibility of the vote.
Talking about that, Achike, and I've been meaning to, you know, let us dig down, let's borrow it. Do you think that there are some parties that didn't buy votes or pay or induce, or it's just all of them?
Obviously, there are some parties that did not do that.
Okay.
I will. It might seem strange, but it is not because those parties are saintly. I don't want to use that, and I'm not saying that they are also evilly inclined.
Okay.
You know, but you know, there is this general discussion, for instance, among Nigerians, when they are so upset about governance in the country and what the politicians are doing. Some people have made the argument that the reason why some of them are arguing is because they don't have opportunity to be there. That once they have that opportunity to be there, they will do the same thing.
They will do the same.
Perhaps to a very large extent, that is true. But to some extent, that is also not true, because not all Nigerians are inclined to that kind of, you know, malfeasance. Not all Nigerians. There are some Nigerians that truly believe in doing the right thing. So, you know, back to your question. There's a possibility that other political parties, especially the political parties that do not have the money, are not engaging in it because they are not in the same position to do what the big parties are doing.
Right.
And it's also possible that some other smaller political parties that you make reference to might have, you know, a party, you know, an ideology, a party that is grounded in ideology that believes also that things like this I should not be condoned by the party.
Right.
I cannot say for sure. But I know that not all political parties engage in vote buying because they do not have the reach, they do not have the resources, they do not have the means to do that.
Right.
But there, like I said, there's also that possibility that some of them might not be inclined to if they had that opportunity. So I cannot say in general terms, I cannot generalize.
What are the takeaways from this election? And this is my final question to you, Achike. What do you think that we have learned, or we can learn, we can improve upon in the coming elections?
Yeah, one is the fact that elections should not be do or die. Is that fact, and I think I'm seeing the people invite that. And I'm seeing the politicians reduce their level of, virulent rhetorics, because these are the things that their supporters, you know, are looking out for. These are the things that their supporters hear, and they are motivated either to create some level of violence or to move along the path of peace. So I think from that perspective, it is also good. So the fact that the election was peaceful, down to the people of Ekiti State, I must thank them for that.
Right.
But again, we also have to be careful about the level of praise for also the people of Ekiti State, because they are the ones that engaged massively in vote selling. And this in itself, again, undermines our democracy. Because what it does is that once the politicians, and we know, once the politicians have bought you, they do not feel any obligation to you.
Right.
And, you know, because they believe that they have paid you off. And so we must avoid that situation. So at that level, they didn't do too well. Then for INEC also, they were able to get their logistics right. And some of us had questioned, again, because of the serious politicization of the NURTW.
Right.
Unfortunately, INEC has had to use their vehicles for logistics in conveying their materials, sensitive and non-sensitive. And that is extremely dangerous. Where you have, especially in the Southwest, really, where you have very active NURTW organizations also involved in the process, that, I mean, and they are all affiliated to one political party or the other, therefore they are partisan. So to also put your faith, you know, in the hands of people that are partisan becomes a problem. But I think because this is an off-cycle election, INEC was able to find a way around it. They were able to deploy their Hiluxes and their vehicles from the various locations in the Southwest, you know, and then all of them moved to Ekiti State, and they used those vehicles for to convey their own sensitive material. So perhaps I think that that is a way to go. You know, we must look for a way to have better logistics and to be sure that those people who are involved in conveying election materials are not very partisan, because a lot of mischief can be done in the process.
Right.
And then the police did well. The police exceedingly well. By as at 8:30 or so, I think the police personnel were in every polling unit in Ekiti State. You know, and we didn't get any report of a single polling unit where that did not have a police presence, and that is kudos to the Nigerian police. And then yes, the issue of people with disabilities.
Right.
We also had issues, you know, with that in some places. In some places, the polling units were not exactly accessible to them.
Okay.
In some other places, you know. Of course, the people of Ekiti State accorded a lot of respect for pregnant women and old elderly people. They allowed them, you know, to the front of the queue.
Right.
Immediately they saw them, and I think that was also a good one.
How'd you get you there?
And those people with albinism, you know, the albinos and so on, are also you know, part of people with disability, living with disabilities.
Right.
But in some instances, voters were not impressed. They didn't feel that there are people with disabilities and refused to give them space on the queue.
Achike, thank you.
I think it's still an ongoing battle to ensure that
absolutely
the people with disabilities are given greater recognition. Of
absolutely.
Course, there is, because there is a policy in place in the country.
Achike,
for that recognizes
We have to go now. Achike, thank you so much for the good work that you do. We'll talk some more as we have one more off-cycle election to go before the general election. Thank you again for joining us today. Lagos, I have to go. My job is off today. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 for Morning Crossfire. But in the meantime, Mr. Brown is here and he's got an information for you. Stay here.
This is an infomercial.
Hey, it's your deals plug. And as usual, I've got the most fantastic information on the market. And it's
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.